MCC Live continues on the Tri-Cities Leader in Sports, 1340 ESPN.
Welcome back. It's MCC Live covering everything Mid-Columbia Conference from the state basketball tournament at the Sundome in Yakima. Jamie Council's on location. Will Bradley here. We're doing a 90-minute show for you today, MCC Live on 1340 ESPN. And don't forget, you can listen to the show after the show is over. You listen on demand at 1340ESPNradio.com. And Jamie, also where you can get your podcasts.
Yeah, just another way for people to listen to it on those drives, wherever you get your podcasts, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, just search for MCC Live and listen to it on demand.
And this segment of MCC Live is brought to you by BNI. Take your business to the next level with the Giver's Gain. To check out a meeting near you, visit teambni.com. Jamie's covering the state tournament in Yakima at the Sundome. She's doing games on NFHS. So grateful you carved out some time to talk to me here on 1340 ESPN. What were some of the highlights of the tournament leading up to this point that you think really stand out?
I mean, a big one, if you're taking a look at, I know we just talked about 4A and the girls, buzzer beater, number 11, Bellarmine Prep, lost to number 4, Eastlake, 62-60 on a buzzer beater. But that is the controversy, as some people said that it didn't get off before the buzzer, but the Stripes making that decision. As was the case for Deer Park, looking to upset in that game, and it came down to a would-be buzzer beater where Deer Park was playing Kings. And what had happened is that at the free throw line, made both of their free throws to take the one-point lead. And on the other side of things, Darian Herring hucked it, made it, but the referee said, nope, it was after the buzzer, and Kings went on to win by one. That was my first game of the day yesterday, so woke me up right away. Toppenish boys getting the win yesterday, that was such a highlight where they were playing Freeman, and Freeman the bigger team, and they're so much fun to watch in Toppenish, full of seniors. They know their roles. You take a look at the final shot that sent it into overtime, and Santana Luna hadn't scored a bucket all day. And all of a sudden, from the corner, hits the three-pointer that ties the game and sends it into overtime. And he also had 2 points in overtime. Josh Perez went off. He had 30. And Rivera, that big body. Because Toppenish isn't the biggest team. They're pretty small, but Rivera does bring that inside presence. You want to keep him on the court. Nestle does a great job for the Toppenish boys. So the Toppenish boys are playing now in the semifinals, and that will be tonight at 7:15. They're playing number one seed Linden Christian. Linden Christian beating Villa in our area. And Wapato girls, let's just keep it. Take a look at the 82 teams, the I-82 teams in the area. So the Wapato girls also playing in the semifinals. They had their first game of the tournament yesterday, and they came out ready to play. Sometimes in the first game of the Domes, you have to kind of shake off the nerves, and Joe Blodgett doing a great job of getting his team ready. Trinity Wheeler, KK Bass in double-digit scoring, and that destroying of number 4 Montesano, 64-36, the winner, the score of that game. And with that, Wapato also playing in the semifinals, and that is tonight at 5:30. So Wapato looking, and Linden Christian won the 1A state last year, and Nooksack Valley on the other side playing Kings, that beat Deer Park. So Wapato needs to beat Linden Christian, so that way we don't have just a rematch of the state championship last year.
You don't like rematches?
Maybe if they were teams from our area. So I think I'm biased on this because that game was so exciting, actually, when you take a look at it. Nooksack Valley losing by 1 point to Linden Christian. Now Nooksack Valley the number one seed. So if I was a Nooksack Valley fan, I'd be like, yes, rematch, redemption run, all those, you know, storylines. But Wapato, they have such a good team. KK Bass, a senior, and Joe Blodgett, just such a great coach. And talking to him yesterday after the win, just putting things into perspective, and they have a great defense. So I think I'm just a Waukato fan rather than not a fan of rematches.
I think generally speaking, people like championship rematches, though. So unless you're a fan of a specific school that's trying to break your way in, yeah, why not have a rematch?
Well, in this case, I'm saying go Wolves, and let's stick with me being biased. Now that I, you know, am covering area teams, I can be biased. And another team I'm biased for is Columbia Burbank. The boys, the fourth seed in 2B over at the Spokane Arena. They're playing in the semifinals really closely after the show at 3:45 set to tip against number one Davenport. So they look to make it into that championship game. Ellensburg girls, I mean, I don't see anybody beating them. Olivia Anderson, 6'6", going to UW next year, as well as Jamison Phillips, absolutely lights out player. So I don't see anybody beating Ellensburg. In the 2A, Ellensburg girls playing at 7:15 tonight in the semifinal. And also in our area, Prosser, both the boys and the girls playing. And Prosser, that's going to be actually a good matchup between Prosser and Ellensburg. Prosser played really good yesterday on the girls' side. A great win over WF West, 58-33. But Ellensburg is just so good. So that will be a great game, as well as the boys. Prosser playing number 6 Linden. That is tonight at 5:30. So both Prosser boys and girls, that's awesome that they're both in the semifinal game.
There's definitely a lot of schools in Central and Eastern Washington doing well in the state tournament. What about the Warden girls, though? Going for a repeat.
Yeah, they won first ever state championship last year. And they're playing number one ranked Colfax tonight at 7:15 in the 2B girls semifinal. So Warden trying to also make it back to back. And then at the 1Bs from our area tonight at 9 p.m. in the boys semifinal, it's DeSales and Sunnyside Christian. So two teams in the general same area tonight at 9 p.m. So a lot of great basketball teams in and around the Tri-Cities, a lot of representation from the east side of the state.
That's right. It is MCC Live, but there are other schools around here. You could be listening, representing one of their schools. In the state tournament, it's where everybody comes together. It's a celebration of high school sports when you get all these teams together.
Absolutely. And we talked about it, I believe, a couple weeks ago, where you're rooting for your team, right? Richland hates Kamiakin when they're playing them. But then when it gets to the crossover between the GSL, then you root for the MCC, and then at the state tournament, it's just East versus West. So it's kind of funny how your fan base expands the deeper you get into playoffs.
And now also on the phone here on MCC Live, we're talking to one of the officials who's doing the games at the state tournament.
Will Gaisley, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for coming on MCC Live. Appreciate it. What's the hardest part about being a ref?
You know, the hardest part about it is really the amount of hours that we spend training and preparing, both not only mentally but physically for the games in front of us to ensure that we can do the best job possible for these kids.
Which games have you done at this tournament so far?
Oh, gosh, I've done so many that I've been on the girls' side of the state tournament this year, and so we've had several games, but it's just been such a blessing to be out there. So many kids from so far away and so close, and you're getting to officiate coaches that you've never been in front of before, players mm-hmm. that you haven't seen before. It's just been exciting. Teams from all over are here, and it's just such a blessing.
All right.
And talk about, so you do a lot of the scheduling to put on a tournament like this. I mean, there's two courts here at the Sun Dome. You have, you know, three referees and then also your best officials as well, state tournament time. What does it look like trying to staff something like this?
Oh, man, the work in the background is just amazing. There are so many pieces to a puzzle that go into it. I'm more on the scheduling of the state tournament. Tournament stuff for softball and baseball, but I'll tell you there's so many people involved from the community. There's people in the community for running the clocks and the shot clock and home scorebook, and then you know, you got your officials, coordinators, and then you've got not only them, but you've got the people that are dealing with the coaches, and then we've got host families that are taking care of teams that come in from out of town, and our sports commissions are all joining forces and such a huge part of it. And then, you know, of course, in contact constantly with the WIAA and WOA to bring it on other forms of media to where they can get the broadcast out to the small communities all the way up to the larger communities. It's just, it is such a group effort. It's amazing how many pieces of this puzzle come together.
And of course, the officials, a big piece of that puzzle. And in this tournament, there's been a couple of would-be buzzer beaters. And I mean, just talk about dealing with that. I mean, we had the Bellarmine prep game yesterday where they said the shot did go off. A lot of people said it didn't. As well as Deer Park yesterday morning, they didn't make a shot as Kings moved on. I mean, just talk about making that call in that pressure situation and having to stick by that call, even though, you know, everybody has an opinion.
There's such a part of that that it just becomes intestinal fortitude. We communicate extremely well throughout the games. And, you know, like many people have said before, there's a lot of great officials at these tournaments, and everybody's heart's in the right place. And you know, when you're making those last second calls, when if people think for a second that we don't go in and view the video even after games and that sort of thing, because we're not allowed to in high school ball at the moment, they're crazy if they don't think we do. But we have been so blessed with so many passionate people to be a part of the game that it's something that we really invest a lot of time in, and so we have signals, we have communication styles that we go through to make sure that we get it right. And having been on the broadcast side of things for many years, the officials on the games are way more than they're wrong. I know that.
Used at the moment when you talked about replay, what's the timetable for that happening at some point?
You know, I don't know really if it'll ever hit high school sports. When I was working collegiately, it was starting to come in I just don't really see it ever. I personally, because I've been a head coach of a few programs, I love the adversity that comes with the game and keeping it raw and keeping it the way that it started. Me personally, we're not signing million-dollar deals out there, but what we are doing is creating a lot of life lessons for the student athletes out there that, you know, as an employer, I'm looking for those kind of people that have been in the trenches, that have had to learn to overcome adversity and had to be able to unify with four other people out on the floor at any given time, no matter what was thrown at them, and be able to rise above it. So I hope that they never add that to high school, because the game is still pure at that level.
I love the human aspect of the strikes. I know, obviously, at the professional level, you know, there's reasons why they are in place. But you take a look, the hand of Maradona would have never happened. And a lot of calls where, as part of the athletes, the coaches train you. Like my soccer coach always said, if the ball goes out of bounds, pick it up like it's yours, even if it's obvious, because you're going to get a couple calls a game. The human aspect is just a part of sports. And like you said, especially at the high school level, because it puts the pressure on everybody to kind of deal with that human aspect, with that adversity aspect.
Yeah. Yep. No, it's something that I honestly 100% hope that they never change, because, you know, there's things in life that are never perfect. We don't get to go out in the real world into our jobs and say, hey, can I get that on instant replay so I get it right? That's just not reality. And so to have that in high school sports, I just think would be a detriment to the game.
So with it, I wanted to first compliment the Deer Park call. I was so impressed by the officials calling the last second foul. And on the other side, calling that shot off before the shot had even gotten off, saying game's over, sticking by the call, getting off the court right away to not have to deal with fans. And there is a need of officials. I know that in all sports, all around the state, will how can people get involved and what should they do if they're interested in wearing the stripes?
So they can go to their to the state website. It's the WOA-officials website. They can reach us through the WIAA and or reach out to your local associations or get a hold of an official locally and just ask them, how do I get involved? They'll put them in touch with us, myself as one of the assigners, and we can get there. Or you can go type in Google's and you can Google say yes to officiating and fill out a form, and that and that'll get to us to where we can reach out to them. And you know, we really want to get more of the high school kids involved. As I'm sure you've seen across the state, we the average age of officials is older than we'd like to see it. And so while that their wisdom is so much and so desperately needed, we've got to start bringing that next generation in so the next several generations have the opportunity of being a part of high school sports. And so we started some really neat stuff. Officials are getting paid every 48 to 72 hours, at least in the state of Washington now. That's been a great change for us in the state. And, you know, the WIAA and WOA have really come together in a partnership like I really haven't ever seen before in my 25 years of doing this. That's really focused on the quality of the game and the experience. And that's really opened up the eyes for some of the younger people that have maybe decided, hey, I played all the way through. But we've got kids that are in high school making really good money by working a few hours every afternoon. So if you don't want to go flip burgers and you don't want to dump garbages and you don't want to clean out the car wash, get a hold of your local association, be a part of the game that you love. And we would love to have you. Our training will set you up for success, and it'll be exciting times.
It's a great way to experience the atmosphere of the games.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know, that's I was one of those guys that sat in the stands and thought, man, I can do that better. So I came out to be an official, and I quickly realized, holy cow, there are so many different aspects to this game, and there are so many different rules and so many different variances to so many different situations that it's really a craft unto its own. But I'll tell you, it's such a blessing. Kids today that have that I've officiated through the years, their kids are now playing, which, gosh, that kind of makes me sound old now, but their kids are playing now, and they're walking up saying, hey, I remember you. They all call you coach. Hey, I remember you, coach. Thank you for being in my games. And so that's just such a great feeling that you get to know that you've been able to be a part of so many young people's lives.
Yeah, it's an essential part of any sporting event. You can't have them without the officials. You just can't.
Right. Without us, it's just recess.
That's right. You doing any more games the rest of the tournament? What other games are you doing?
Well, I'm waiting to get my schedule, but I'll be doing a few more today, and then we'll see how it shakes out after that to see what happens on Saturday.
But, all right.
I'm very honored and blessed to be a part of this experience.
Thank you so much. Again, that's Will Gately, one of the promoters of sports in the area and official for state basketball. Will, thank you for your time.
So blessed to be a part of it. Thanks for having me here, Jamie.
Hey, thanks for calling. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate all you're doing for high school sports. It means a lot.
All right, buddy. Take care. It's always confusing to have a second Will on the show. You notice that? Because you're saying, Will, you know, hey, I got a question for you, Will. And I'm thinking, you talking to me? You're talking to him.
Right. I feel like there needs to be code names or something. But yeah, I was even thinking that, too. When I'm talking to Will, or even when I'm talking to other people, they're like, wait, which one? So Will Squared on this episode of MCC Live.
I do have to respectfully disagree with the other Will about one thing. I think during championship tournament play, it is important to have replay. I know it's not as revenue generating as, say, a March Madness is for the NCAA, but at the same time, the basic aspect of fairness, I think, should come into play with making sure that the correct calls are made. I know the human element's great, but to lose a championship or to lose a shot at a championship on human error, it's still kind of tough for me. And I mean, even NBA player Isaiah Thomas, he tweeted about that shot. If it were like 17-year-old me having to digest that, I mean, it'd be tough for me to digest as an adult, as a parent of one of the players.
Yeah, I mean, I think with like the buzzer beaters, but a lot of people, some people are saying they got it oftentimes, some people are saying they didn't. But I think the main thing, it's not, oh, you want the human aspect in high school. I think a lot of it is you just don't have the infrastructure to have, I mean, to think about that you have an instant replay from the right angle, have it where the referee can go view it. It's just something that you don't offer at the high school level, where we're already talking about how many pieces we have at the tournament. So I agree, maybe in a championship when it comes to those buzzer beaters, it would be good to have, but like I said, I just don't think it's at the high school level yet. But yeah, maybe I can see it being a good thing to have, especially when it comes to those championships where there's no talking about Twitter. Yes, they got it off. No, they didn't. The Deer Park.
That's what I'm talking about exactly, though. The fact that there's no consensus on whether the shot should have counted or not. There should be a way to take a look at that.
There should be, and that's the funny thing, is that some people were saying that they didn't, according to the court, but then I think the broadcast, the shot clock showed it was still at 0.01. So, but yeah, it's just the human aspect, and people are going to be talking about it. I think it'd be great to have when it comes time for the state tournaments, but like Will said, it's not at the high school level quite yet.
Yeah, well, of course, the referee, he doesn't want instant replay to come in and second guess what he's doing. And I'm not talking about doing it just for regular season games. I'm talking about just for, you know, tournament time should be a different animal, I think, when it comes to making sure that the right team's winning, all the right calls are being made this time of year. That's really important that the right calls are being made this time of year.
Yeah, and I don't think that the officials wouldn't welcome it. You know, you think, oh, nobody wants to be right or wrong, but I think it's more of you have to. I mean, of course you want to be right. But I think officials just want the game to be played fairly, and that's what a lot of fans don't understand, is they are doing their best out there, and you have to understand that. And even on Twitter, some people were saying it was off in time, it wasn't off in time. I really respect that a lot of people are saying that, you know, that it was as close as it gets, and the referee made their call, and people kind of accept you have to live by the calls that the official makes. And a lot of people that understand the human aspect respect the calls, especially when they're close. Sometimes when they're wrong, you know, that's when you get reviews of officials and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a big time game. It's really interesting where you're going to be rethinking that moment. You know, two buzzer beaters, one ruled in time and one ruled not in time. It's tournament time.
Yeah, it is tournament time. And Jamie Council's doing games for NFHS. So great to have you talking to me today on the phone from the Sun Dome, 1340 ESPN. Come back with another segment of MCC Live talking about spring sports. It's not just about basketball. It's not just about the big ticket items. We talk all the sports in the Mid-Columbia Conference right here, 1340 ESPN.
Have Christine Connolly help you achieve your housing goals and be your genie in a bottle.
As you wish. Buying or selling a home is a huge decision. You need someone that you trust and trust that they know what they're doing. As a second-generation realtor, I know how to anticipate the needs of my clients, and I make sure I'm up to date on the latest real estate trends in the Valley, along with buying programs that clients can take advantage of. I go above and beyond for all of my clients.
Contact Christine Connolly online or on Facebook at As You Wish Houses.
Part of Coldwell Banker Tomlinson.